This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
5 at 5. Quitting time on your Monday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Jake back with you. Jake's got the top 5 at 5 this afternoon. It's brought to you by our friends at Citizens National Bank. Jake.
Number one, Tennessee football target and five-star defensive lineman Walter Nolan has enrolled at Powell High School for his senior season. One of the nation's top recruits has been future-casted to the Vols on Rivals.
All right. I see what you're doing, Miller. You're trying to get me and Bear all fired up, get our hopes up. What was the rest of the top five? He released a top five. We were in it. I'm going to pull this up.
Florida's on the list.
Are they?
Pretty
what
sure.
What about Bama?
I'm sure they are.
Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, and Tennessee. That's his top five. I'm just it feels like there's a long way to go in this one. I think we still have an official visit to offer. And now he's right up the road. We got Rodney Garner in here. He's going to be at every Powell game. I mean, we might as well go ahead and get Rodney Garner Powell season tickets, right? Bear, I mean, he's gonna be up there kicking it.
Wait, there are season tickets to high school football?
I think so.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
You save a couple of bucks.
I mean, I get a pass every year to
the Butch Bowl
over there at Dorman Blaine Stadium. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have those in my school.
Where'd you go to high school?
Campbell County.
Sports are irrelevant at Campbell
Cougars.
County.
Hey, the tennis team, man. The tennis team is where it's at.
Shit.
I'll revitalize that.
Okay.
They got a little shrine to Jake Miller up there. You hitting your forehand. We need to go out and hit sometime, you and me, Miller.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
You got to compare yourself to a famous – who is it? Hickman compared himself to Russell Westbrook.
Okay, that's a little much. See, I'm more of like a
like a young Bjorn Borg – McEnroe?
No, I'm not that good.
You look like you don't really have the frame.
He's kind of got an Agassi, maybe a Michael Chang type build. You know,
I thought he had more of an offensive guard kind of build.
Well, you got to think I'm about 220 right now. Back in my day, I was about 140.
Back in your day, how old are you? Like 25?
I'm 20, about to be 27.
Jake Miller, all grown up. Proceed.
Number two.
How did we get from Walter Nolan to Jake's high school tennis career? I would like to know.
I have no idea.
It went from Walter Nolan to you and Bear going back about the Butch Bowl, and then okay. It was like Campbell County's irrelevant. Talking about my tennis team.
The Butch Bowl, Bear, that is one of the best developments on this show in the past 2 or 3 years. That's name me a funnier thing than the Butch Bowl that we've discovered.
I'll tell you right. You want to hear something funnier than that? Hold on, I'll tell you. I just got to communicate from one of the fellas off the morning show. Adam Hickman said the Olympic swimmers look slow, and then he thought he could swim faster. Hickman, what the hell are you doing, dude?
Imagine Hickman out there in his Speedo trying to go up against that Ledecky gal.
His gut hanging over it.
Oh, I just shaved my legs for this. There's no chance he beats me.
I wore a Speedo once.
Thor Gunderson from Sweden, you know, smokes his ass by about a minute and a half. Butterfly, to be exact, I'm told.
And number two, Lady Vol legend Monica Abbott is likely to start in the gold medal game.
Jake, assertive.
For Team USA tomorrow. The U.S. softball.
I didn't know she was still pitching, man.
Oh, she is.
She looks good.
I'm just trying to get the image of Hickman and a Speedo out of my head.
It seems like she played a long time ago. How old is she now?
Oh, I don't know. They had that broad that's like my age doing the vault and the women's gymnastics.
He's
that
35.
Was crazy looking.
When did she graduate? Like, she graduated what, 04, 05?
Played at
she's
college.
She's got to be in her mid-30s
04
now.
To 07. She's 35 years old.
Yeah, she's like Chance's. Is she a couple years younger than Chance?
She's the starting pitcher. And they'll start those pitchers like every single game. It's not like Major League where they're rotating. They only pitch once every 5 days. They'll pitch pretty much every day, won't they? In college, they will. I don't know at her age if she needs a little more recovery. But all right. When is she pitching?
Tonight? Whenever the gold medal game is.
They're already in the gold medal game for softball? Crazy.
Number three. The never-ending drama that surrounds Tate Martell has a new chapter. The quarterback who had committed to Washington originally has now passed through several programs such as Ohio State and Miami as a transfer, a commit, a suspended player, etc., and has announced he will transfer to UNLV with 2 years of eligibility remaining.
At this point, I hope the kid gets to play. I just want to know if he's any good or not.
You where did he start off at again, guys?
He Ohio committed State. To Washington.
Oh.
And then he decommitted, committed to Ohio State.
Well, didn't he was on that show, that Netflix show, right?
Yeah.
And he was all cocky and arrogant on that thing.
Yeah, and he thought he was going to get the starting job at Miami, and it's like, no, dude.
Well, he was at that Bishop Gorman High School in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
I believe that's correct. So he's going back to UNLV.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
At 23 years old.
You better be sure he's getting the starting job. I mean, you transfer again like that, I would go. I mean, I might even look at some FCS options just to make sure I know I'm going to play.
Darrell Middleton plan. 8 schools in 3 years.
A circuitous route.
And number 4, Texas and Oklahoma officially notified the Big 12 this morning that they will not be renewing their grants of media rights following its expiration in 2025.
Can't say that I blame them.
Their plan, though, according to other reports, is to play in the SEC next year. And as we've discussed at length here today, it sounds like they're going to sit back and hope that the Big 12 pretty much dissolves, as we've got reports of other Big 12 member institutions talking with other conferences at this point behind the scenes. And if they truly didn't know anything about this until last week, that could take some time, right? That could take a week or two to find for the more valuable schools, more valuable properties, if you will, in that conference to find a better place to play in the future. So,
and all these other schools in the Big 12 have already reached out to other conferences. The majority of them are trying to contact the Big 10. Of course, West Virginia is going to contact the ACC, and Baylor has reached out to both, I think, the Big 10 and the Pac-12. So.
Hmm. It's interesting. Bear, I think Kansas goes to the Big Ten. Big Ten's gonna have to find another school though, man. You don't want to go to 15, do you?
No. I think they might go Kansas and maybe Iowa State.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
But they're saying I don't think the eggheads in the Big Ten feel like Iowa State fits their academic profile. They're so snooty about that, you know. They're all what
is
AAU
Iowa State
schools.
Not a good academic school?
I don't think so. I think most of the, if not all, the Big Ten institutions are in the American Association of Universities. They call it the AAU, not to be confused with like AAU basketball. But it's
okay.
It's like an elite little club, and I think Kansas is in it. I'm pretty sure Texas is in it. That was why some of the people wondered if maybe the Big Ten might try and swoop in.
That would be a terrible, terrible move for Texas to go to the Big Ten.
I would think so. Geographically and just from a fit perspective, it doesn't seem like a good fit. I think Kansas is a big domino. Oklahoma State's a big domino. To me, it feels like if the goal is to get as many teams as a conference can into the college football playoff, then to me it feels like West Virginia and Oklahoma State. and maybe Iowa State are the big properties there. And here's another.
Yeah, I would see West Virginia going to the Big 12 or the ACC rather. Sorry.
Here's another little interesting nugget. I hate to hijack your segment here, Jake, but just chew on this. We could circle back here for a minute. Think if the Big 12 does dissolve and Iowa State, some of these schools have trouble finding a landing spot. Man, I just wonder if all this was going on prior to our coaching search. Would Matt Campbell have been more receptive to our phone calls? Regardless of whether you want him or not.
It's possible.
If he felt like Iowa State could be destined for the Mountain West or the AAC or whatever. What about Mike Gundy, for that matter?
Well, here's something else to think about, too. Do you remember when the AAC first formed after the Big East had pretty much announced that it was pretty much over, and you had Conference USA poaching at these Sun Belt teams? Do you think that the Big 12 will try to poach at some of the AAC schools and then Conference USA try to go for, like, some Sun Belt teams?
I mean, yes, I think they will. But if Kansas, Oklahoma State leave, I think it's a moot point. And even if they don't, I'm not sure that that's enough to maintain, quote unquote, Power 5 conference status. Like, you can't lose Oklahoma and Texas and say, well, we know we can't replace them, but instead of replacing with two, we're going to get four schools, and it's going to be UCF, Memphis, Houston, and Tulsa. I'm sorry, that doesn't cut it. Right? Those schools aren't going to be enough to have you stand toe-to-toe with the new SEC and the Big Ten, and you just lost too much luster at that point, in my opinion.
And number five, there's a notable near-ish collision on Earth, or at least one that's looming. An object may be about to crash that is traveling at 18,000 miles per hour. NASA has sounded an alarm that a giant asteroid is about to pass Earth. It's somewhere between 318 and 720 feet in length, about the size of the Taj Mahal. The thing's even got a name, 2008 G020.
It's, I hate to bust your bubble, it's already passed us, dude.
I feel like we're at the boy who cried wolf point with this asteroid heading to Earth story, right? I mean, this happens at least once a year. We have a story about the asteroid is going to hit Earth. It's going to blow us up. We're all going to die. And it never happens.
The world's going to end.
Well, eventually.
Yeah, it's here in a billion years.
Yeah. We'll be long gone. We'll be exploring space. We'll be the gray aliens by then, right, Bear? Coming back to warn ourselves. In some weird, what was that movie with McConaughey?
Where the Interstellar?
Yeah, some weird kind of interstellar mind bender type thing. All right, thank you, Jake Miller. That is the Top 5 of 5, brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. Check them out online at cnbtn.com. Citizens National Bank, bank local. Simplify your life by turning to CNB for all your personal banking needs. They've got a variety of checking and savings options, plus chip-enabled debit and credit cards right here in our community, helping you safely and securely manage your everyday cash flow and build your rainy day savings at Citizens National Bank. All right, we've got Joe Rexroad coming up here in about 10 minutes on the show. In the meantime, let's squeeze in a call from, oh my God. Really? This is what you're so excited about? We're going to put this dullard on the air right now? All right, Hickman. What do you got?
Oh, God.
He wants to call and defend himself.
That's exactly what he's trying to do.
Heard his name get trashed on the show, and now he wants to call in and try and pretend like he didn't compare himself to Russell Westbrook, trying to pretend like he didn't say that he could compete with Olympic-level swimmers.
And the butterfly.
I'm just out here trying to zip line through the beautiful Great Smoky Mountain National Park, and my phone starts blowing up. And I hear the great Adam Hickman's name is being slandered for some of his hot takes.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
The king of hot takes, and I'm not going to even try and defend him, especially coming from Bears, the guy who openly advocated for Jeremy Pruitt and the guy who still tries to defend Scottie Pippen being better than LeBron James.
You got about 2 seconds, Hickman. I'm going to hit the button on your ass.
Oh, man.
Bear, I'm out of here.
One of your show members ratted you out to me, okay?
Did they?
Yeah. They said the Olympic, the butterfly guys look slow and that you could compete with them.
I didn't think I could.
The guys in the butterfly, Hickman, all those dudes are like 6'6", world-class athletes, and I hate to tell you, but you're a fat guy from Knoxville.
No!
I am too. It's okay, man.
You can't tell me they didn't look slow, Bear.
You can't tell me they didn't look slow, Bear. Yeah.
I don't understand why we have to make fun of his accent.
They didn't look slow.
Oh, yeah, making fun of the accent, that's low even for Bear.
That's pretty low.
Get him out of here. Come on. Are we really going to let Hickman? They would have ran me earlier if I'd come on their show doing that. Although I did flame out on your show this morning, Hickman.
Thank you.
So you're saying you didn't do that, Hickman?
Oh, God.
Is he still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yes. You're saying that you didn't say that you could compete with the Olympic butterfly swimmers.
I don't think I openly said I could compete with them. I might have. I say a lot of things that I don't necessarily remember. But
I mean, you compared yourself to Russell Westbrook on our show when you were our intern.
They look slow.
What were you expecting? I mean, they're going pretty fast over there.
It's just hard to sit down and watch a nice competitive race when they're moving at 3 miles an hour.
They're not going 3 miles an hour. They're going pretty fast. How fast are miles per hour are they swimming? I'd say probably up towards, 15 to 20 miles an hour, right, Bear?
I'm not sure.
I don't think it'd be that fast.
Because the fastest people run like 22 to 25 miles per hour, right? That's insanely fast for a human being to run.
Okay, I'll give them some credit. That is impressive, though, if they're going 13 miles an hour.
You can't swim as fast as you can run, right? But I would imagine those guys can go pretty fast. I'd imagine they could swim at least 15 miles per hour.
And for the Russell Westbrook, I never compared my game ability to Russell Westbrook. It was strictly based on attitude and personality.
Okay.
I mean, they're saying that there's going to be world records broken at this games. Caleb Dressel.
All right, the fastest Olympic swimmers, according to USMS.org, I'm not sure what that is, hits the water at 8 miles per hour. If they could, I don't understand what they're saying. I'm sorry, I'll have to do my research here. Thank you.
Do your research.
Hickman,
get
back to your
get the hell out of here.
Get back to your what did he say he was doing? Zip lining through the Smokies or something?
Zip lining through the Great Smoky Mountains.
All right, quick timeout. We're going to bring Joe Rex Road to lend us some authority, get the show back on track. Feel like we've lost control at this point. First show of the week. 2 hours in here and already struggling to maintain a grip on this thing.
It happens.
We'll get things rolling for you. Stay tuned. More conference expansion talk coming up next right here on The Drive.
The Drive.
Hey, it's Russell Smith here for Rickard. Now back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith, Bear, cruise along with you. Let's get Joe Rexroad from The Athletic, 102.5 The Game, in here with us this afternoon. Joe, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, Russell. How are you? Got some Aggie mania going on or what?
Oh, man. I tell you what, that story yesterday, last week, that's manna from Sports Radio Heaven. I mean, we were, I wouldn't say struggling, but it's a grueling march towards the kickoff of the season. July's a little bit rough from a content perspective. SEC Media Days doesn't deliver like it used to. And then, boom, just out of the blue, man. Pretty good content. I'm sure it's probably taken over a good chunk of your show, too, I'd imagine.
See, that's the sun shiny outlook I needed, because I think it's terrible, but you're right. It's been great for radio.
Yeah, I mean,
and content.
Well, we're discussing that today. Everywhere I go, I'm sure you get the same thing. People are like, what do you think? Is this good or bad? My position is I don't know. My initial thought is kind of like you. It's just, man, the suits just continue to suck the soul out of college football. It's been happening for a long time. This seems like another big jump in that direction. But I don't know. The SEC stopped being the SEC a long time ago. I mean, I don't know what this is now, but it's not what I grew up with back, I was born in 1980 and the sport we grew up watching here. So I don't know. But you, as they say around these parts, are again it, Joe Rex Road.
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree with you. This is not some out of the blue thing. We had this realignment frenzy a decade ago, and a lot of things have changed, and it's been about TV and money for a long time. But, even as much as it's changed, you could still count on Tennessee, Florida playing every year, right? I mean, you can kiss that one goodbye probably now, although I guess we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of different ways it could go. But it's just, to me, tearing at the fabric of it a little bit and just pushing it toward, let's just be, NFL B version. And I just don't know. A lot of it just doesn't make sense. It certainly makes sense financially. And I can't blame Greg Sankey. I mean, shoot, man, the writing was on the wall. Big 12 was going to be fading behind the Big Ten and the SEC. Those two were going to go somewhere. You can't lose. You got to win. It's just sad that this is how it is. And it's just amazing to me that Sankey, I mean, talk about ruthless, man. He's out there hanging out with Bob Bowlsby while cutting his throat, and with no Bowlsby having no clue. But that's on him.
Yeah, note to self, never trust Greg Sankey if you're in any sort of closed-door negotiation with him. Even if that is the college sports equivalent of Hulk Hogan doing the leg drop on the Macho Man and ripping off that and showing that NWO shirt, right? I mean, he never saw it coming.
Oh, man, it's amazing. And you think about it, too, and obviously – like the playoffs, going to 12, even if this didn't happen, totally made sense for the SEC. Sankey's like, look, when do we get more access, But now you think about it, that was the only way this was going to be palatable for Oklahoma and Texas, right? I mean, it's pretty amazing, the whole thing. So, hey, Texas A&M is one of those games that we've lost in all this realignment, and we'll get that one back, I suppose. So it's not all bad.
No, and you touched on something earlier about the TV markets, and that's what we were told 10 years ago when you're bringing Missouri. Everybody's like, why are you bringing Missouri into the league? Like, that's weird. And we were told, well, it's because of the St. Louis TV market. The people are going to – it's a big TV market, and Texas A&M brings lots of TV sets as well. And this time they're saying, well, in an age where everybody's cutting the cord, it's not so much about the markets anymore. It's about content. We got to create content. And Texas and Oklahoma are massive brands, and that's going to create more big games that people are going to stream online. And I just wonder, things have changed so quickly the last 10 years, Joe. I mean, who's to say where you're going to be streaming these games? Like, I don't know how we're going to be watching football games 10, 15, 20 years down the road. And it just it seems like these guys are chasing a few extra bucks for immediate consequences. And I don't know. Do you think they see the big picture? They probably see it better than me, or at least they think so.
Well, no, I mean, it's funny. I said the exact thing you just said there. Like, I mean, think about it. 10 years ago, everybody's like, Rutgers? Well, yeah, man, because people in New York have to pay to watch it. Jim Delaney, you genius, right?
Yeah.
And that's all it was about. And so, like you said, now it's the brand names and just basically what kind of – I mean, you can get bigger TV deals out of having this much power consolidated. But, yeah, what's the future of all this stuff 10, 20 years from now? I mean, I agree. Things are changing all the time. And I don't think that the big picture is being minded here. I don't. I think the big picture is, to me, I mean, there's a lot of fans already. It's been, you know, I think the 14 playoff has been more damaging than I would have ever guessed. And some of that is just the way it's gone, you know, in this particular period of time, it's been so restricted to, and everything else seems less relevant, even though we've had like irrelevant Fleabag bowl games forever. They just seem less relevant. Right. But, I mean, I just feel like from the fan perspective, so much of this is about the traditions and about driving to a road game that you'd like to see against a rival that you grew up watching your favorite team play. And there's just so many things about it that are unique and different than any other sport. And this is doing away with some things that I think are really important to college football fans. I still also think probably the big picture that they have in mind is, you know what? This is ingrained in people. This is tribal. This is passionate. And they will stick with their teams because they love them so much. And they may be right. But we can also complain.
Yeah, exactly. That's what sports radio is here for. As we visit with Joe Rexroad from The Athletic in Nashville. It's really interesting to ponder what's next, because obviously many wheels are in motion. It seems like Texas and Oklahoma are just sitting back waiting for what's left of the Big 12 to crumble so that they can move into the SEC expeditiously. What do you think about – I know you spent a lot of time up there in Big Ten country, Joe. How do you see this shaking out if you were the Big Ten, Pac-12, the ACC – what would be going through your mind as far as what we need to do to put ourselves in position to compete with this super conference in the SEC?
Yeah, it's really interesting. My coworker, The Athletic, and former UT beat writer and Florida lineman Andy Staples had an interesting column today on the idea of basically like go join up with the Pac-12 and make them more relevant and make college football stronger nationwide, because this may be a great, the SEC is going to be by far the best conference. But it's obviously a very restricted part of the country here, even with extending westward as it is. And so that's the point by him, because what I said on the air today was, if I'm the Big Ten, like, why do I want to add just two randos so we can split up the money with two more people? Like, I understand everybody's like, it's going to, four 16-team leagues, all this stuff, and maybe it will. But, I mean, if I'm the Big Ten, unless I can do something dramatic that, again, puts me in the, puts me back ahead or close in this race that the SEC is about to move well ahead, I would say, in a few years, then I'm not just adding like Iowa State and Kansas or whatever. I mean, and I don't care. I mean, I'm a huge college hoops fan, but this is about football. It's about football brands and moving the needle and being able to, negotiate even bigger deals, as ridiculous as that kind of sounds when you talk it out. So I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go. I think like the whole idea of this, four super leagues or whatever that are separate from everybody else, I mean, that's fine. I mean, they're not going to play any group of five teams anymore. I mean, how many football programs are going to die from this if it goes that way? How many fewer opportunities are there going to be in this country to play football at the collegiate level? How does that affect youth participation? And then at some point, even interest in the sport. I mean, I think you have to look at the whole thing and be very careful right now.
No, I agree. And here's another angle that we kind of kicked around earlier, Joe. Would love your thoughts on this. Say Tennessee, say this had happened last year. Would a Matt Campbell at Iowa State been more receptive to Tennessee or anybody else's advances, for that matter, if he felt like he wasn't sure that Iowa State was going to be playing Power 5 conference football in the near future? What about Mike Gundy down there at Oklahoma State? I think those schools probably find somewhere to land, is probably the Pac-10 or something like that. But aside from Kansas basketball, Joe, I don't know that there are any big brands left at this point. So it's difficult if you're these you know, big leagues trying to figure out what you need to do to survive.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's a really good point on coaches. Because at first I thought you were going to say, like, you'd be excited to join the SEC. I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm going to Tennessee right now and saying, hey, it's a long road to, like, fourth place, but let's give it a shot. You know, I mean, you still obviously love a lot of what's built in there and the potential you have. But no, that's a good point on now all of a sudden, where the heck are those teams? And that's going to be so interesting, too, by the way. Just the Big 12. Are the leftovers, like, does the AAC make a move here and become a really strong AAC? You know, does a quote-unquote middle class get created out of this?
Instead of having a group of five conference, you just have one conference with all the great teams that are not quite ready for Power 5 status yet.
Right, but then also, I mean, you know, you do have some good programs like TCU and Baylor. I know Baylor's obviously been all over the map in the last decade, but you know, TCU, I mean, that's been built up really solid program. There's some good out there, but yeah, moving the needle, I mean, it's basically Notre Dame, right? I mean basically Notre Dame, which I don't know, they're going to be interesting too. I mean, there's so much of this is going to be, but I don't believe, just in terms of like this is just immediately going to go to this, oh, everybody get your 16 and let's go. There's still a lot of steps there, and again, like the Big Ten, to me, I wouldn't do anything unless it was something that that really shook things up in a positive way, not to just get to that number. I mean, the whole Pac-12 idea is interesting. I think Scott Docterman tweeted this. I think he said if they were to do what Staples proposed, they'd have 13 of the top 21 markets, you know, for whatever that's worth. You know, so I guess who knows? At some point, the Big Ten and SEC just have a death match.
Exactly. Loser leaves the sport. And you just have a colossal playoff, or it'd be like one of those Big 12 SEC challenges in basketball. Joe, it's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out moving forward. From Tennessee's perspective, you mentioned earlier, you know, fourth place in the East. Do we just have to kind of get out of the, you have to go 12-0, maybe 11-1 to get to the playoff mindset with expansion anyways? This just more NFL-ish in that, yeah, you can go 9-3, but if you're peaking at the right time and you just squeeze in, you get that 10th or 11th spot in the playoff, that's the goal now instead of winning all your regular season games.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if you can find a way to go like 9-3 in a given year, you should be at least in the discussion for that playoff spot. I mean, as much as one thing, Russell, that I just didn't anticipate was how going from two, you know, a BCS title game to four would so change the conversation. We still talked all the time about, okay, which two teams, and you got the stupid BCS computer or whatever. But, like, it still mattered a lot to be in, like, the Rose Bowl or the Sugar Bowl or whatever, right? And then just going to four, it's like either you make the playoff or you are just a has-been. You know, that's just how it felt anyway. And so that's certainly going to be the case now with 12, but at least 12 is, like, actually attainable for way more teams, you know, to get into that spot. So it is. I mean, you know, I feel like conference championships have also been devalued in the championship games unless they actually specifically, you know, lead to something within the playoff race. But, you know, there is now this, especially in this league, if you can handle the rigors of this league, and I don't know, maybe in a given year you get a little bit of a favorable schedule, you get your tougher games home, whatever. But if you can get like 9-3, and then you got it shot. So and the name of the game is going to be getting in the playoff. And like you said, I mean, look, it's not the NCAA basketball tournament where just one crazy shooting night, basically anyone in that thing could you know, conceivably beat anyone else. There's still going to be some huge gaps. There's going to be Alabama, you know, in some of these years will just bludgeon everyone or whatever it is. But at least there's a chance. So, I mean, from that perspective, just opening up opportunity – is good, but of course we already had that without this latest thing.
Joe Rexroad of The Athletic with us this afternoon. Joe, one more thought on this stuff, and then I want to ask you about the Titans real quick. Here's another idea. I'm not trying to be alarmist here, but I think you and I are kind of singing out of the same hymn book here. I'm sure you saw the reports about, you know, the SEC contacting Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson, Florida State as well. And maybe there's no validity to that. I don't know. But I do just wonder, you get to a certain point, and like you said earlier, if you're in the Big Ten, why do you want to add some teams if you're going to just another slice of the pie that you're going to have to share with somebody else? I just wonder if we do ever get to that point where they are trying to team up with Michigan and Ohio State. You know, people say, well, that would be kind of cool. Yeah, but at what point do those schools, they start to get together, say, you know what? Yeah, those schools can bring a lot of extra revenue to the conference, but that's a lot of hands in the pot. Why are we sharing this money with Ole Miss? Why are we sharing this with Mississippi State, with Vanderbilt, with Tennessee, if they can't get their stuff together? And then all of a sudden you're talking about, it sounds ridiculous right now. I threw it out earlier. Bear kind of shut me down. But, again, who knows what the conversation is like 10, 15, 20 years from now.
Right. No, I mean, and I did see that. I don't know that there's too much to that, that particular report. But, like, I wouldn't doubt at all that, you know, it's spitballing at least. Right?
It's the European Super League model that we just saw over there. I mean, seriously, think of the money that could be made if you have Ohio State, Michigan, Florida State in this thing, and you're not sharing it with some of the schools that we just take for granted as being a part of the SEC.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, I've thought about that, and then it's like, so first of all, then if you get all the really good ones, is it just them then? Like,
yeah.
They're the only ones? I mean, and you think about, like Michigan, Michigan, Ohio State, I mean, you know, think about, like what the rivalries you'd, again, just be obliterating that are really good up there.
Yeah.
You know, and like, again, I mean, I have – like, I've complained many times about some of these Saturdays where, you know, especially that, like, you know, penultimate SEC Saturday where everybody's playing an FCS team and, you know, you're charging fans all this money and you're, you know, and you're going to make them sit through this game and all that stuff. But at the same time, you talk to a coach about that idea, about having to play a game like those level of games every week. You know, I mean, they're like, you get out of my face. There is no way. Now, and people would say, well, what's the NFL? But again, is that what we want? We want college football to be just the minor leagues? And, you know, I mean, it serves as a wonderful minor league for the NFL, but while still being college football and what we love about it. And I think a lot of people, even though the NFL may be most popular, I think a lot of people I know still love college football more than they love the NFL. Again, it's just one of those, man, be careful where this could go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty wild if you let your imagination run a little bit.
Joe, last thing for you. We'll let you run. The Titans open up training camp this week in Nashville. I'm sure that's a big topic of conversation on your show on the game. Just big picture here, the Titans add Julio Jones to a team that's been to the playoffs 2 years in a row now, has a pretty good roster as it is. What are the expectations for Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans this season?
Well, certainly to win the division again, and, you know, make a run. Do you have success in the playoffs? You know, I mean, it's – look, I think most people – well, I think just about everybody would put the Chiefs tops in the AFC as the clear favorite. Most people, I think, would put Buffalo ahead of the Titans. I think they're a more complete team. But I would say, I mean, I would slot the Titans right there right now on paper. And that's even with so many questions defensively. It's the hard thing about the Titans. I think they're going to be just dynamite and potentially just overwhelming on offense with all that they have. Now adding Julio Jones, but I just have so many questions about their defense. If it can be just a bit subpar, then I think you're talking about a really dangerous team. If it's a bad a terrible defense like last year, then, well, they still won the division with that, right? But, I mean, I think it's reasonable to look at them as the third-best team in the conference, and if you're that, then, you know, who knows? I mean, they get to play the Bills, and they get to play the Chiefs this year, so they'll have a look at them before the postseason. But anything, I think, less than winning the division is certainly a disappointment.
Excellent stuff. Joe, always appreciate the time, my man. Thanks for jumping on. I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
All right, Russ. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it, Russell.
See ya. Thank you. Joe Rexrode with The Athletic and 102.5 The Game in Nashville. Interesting conversation. I always like having Joe on because he's the kind of guest, being a radio guy, you just wind him up and let him go. You don't even have to ask questions. It's more conversational. Really fun guy to talk to. Go follow him on Twitter if you want, at Joe Rexrode. We got to take a quick timeout. Final break of the show. Back to wrap things up. Coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Wrapping up the show on a Monday. Joe Rexrode, another stellar appearance on the show today. Bear, any thoughts on Rexrode's appearance today?
I mean, it was outstanding, as usual. What more do you want me to say, Russ?
You didn't listen, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Anything stand out?
I mean, not really.
Just how awesome it all was?
Yeah.
How great.
I love his voice.
What about that part where he started talking about the circus and clowns? Did you find that a little bit odd?
He didn't talk about clowns, Russ. Okay. Get the hell out of here.
All right. I watched that.
Trying to trap me.
I binged that show, Dr. Death, on Netflix.
Really?
Over the weekend. Yeah, it's on. I don't know if it's on Peacock. I don't know if you get that.
Yeah, I've got X1, bro. I get it all. I started watching Hunter on Prime.
Hunter.
Freaked me out.
The show, yeah. About, like, from the 80s, the 90s? The
no.
It's like a detective?
Or Hunters. No, it's got Al Pacino in it. It's about the Nazi hunters.
Oh, yeah. So we were in some really lighthearted material, binge material
this weekend.
Week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That Dr. Death has a lot of Tennessee stuff in it.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Because he went to medical school at UT Memphis. And so, and there's a lot of Tennessee Memphis talk in it. Like when they go back to his medical school, you see the doctor who's played by Kelsey Grammer, who was like the guy who kept passing him along. He's wearing one of those UT doctor lab coats with the old school UT with the state, where the T is like the state. He's wearing that logo on it.
Yeah.
And we talked about the podcast, which is really good. And I listened to that last year. But this dude, first of all, whoever you thought was the worst graduate of the University of Tennessee, now off the hook. Dr. Christopher Dunch is the guy's name. And he's like the worst. He performed, I think, 36 surgeries, 33 of which resulted in severe injury to the patient, two of which the patient died. He just killed him.
Good God. This is like, it's based on a real person?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And
that's why you gotta be careful, man. Like I was very, very meticulous, along with the one time my idiot brother wasn't an idiot in helping me find pretty much a world-class surgeon to do my surgery.
That's
recently.
What was so disturbing about it was he was at Baylor Medical Center for a while, which is like a world-renowned spinal surgery institute.
You still got to check those guys.
I mean, this guy was like anything. He was like the JG of surgery, man. He just kept botching, you know, surgery after surgery. They just keep trotting him back out there.
Good Lord.
Like, you would think, okay, nobody's perfect. We're talking spinal surgery. That's got to be really difficult, right?
Yeah, that's why you very carefully spend some time and research who you're going to let, you know, get within millimeters of your spinal cord.
Well, that's what was so disturbing about this is all the systems that were put into place to make sure, again, it's
so
a
was
difficult,
the guy just a bad surgeon or was he a psychopath?
Yes.
Both?
Yeah. And that's what one of the things, some great acting performances in this series. Christian Slater and Alec Baldwin were in it.
Yeah.
And they played like the two doctors who are the good doctors who are trying to bring him down.
It was Joshua Jackson. Did he play?
Yeah, he was Dr.
Oh, he's a great actor, man.
But one of the good doctors were saying, and again, this is all based on, I'm sure they embellished a little bit for dramatic purposes, but I mean, it's true. You go, like, this dude's in prison for the rest of his life. And that's what they're saying is, like, look, when you make a mistake as a surgeon, you know, and you carry that with you for the rest of your life. And if you made a mistake as bad as any of the mistakes this guy made, you would probably just be like, okay, I'm not cut out for this, obviously. And you would find something else to do. If you're a pilot, you can't land the plane. You don't get to be a pilot. It's not like, oh, he'll get it eventually. It's like, no, you just have to do something else. But like they just kept patting, and, you know, he'd botch a couple surgeries at one hospital, go to the next hospital, botch some surgeries there, go to the next one. And he was able to keep kind of a clean record like he had. He was able to get the bad reviews off the internet, and people trusted him.
I've heard of this guy before. I'm looking it up.
So, but I mean, yeah, that, what you asked is the question of the series, and like nobody knows. Was he doing it on purpose? And it's just, it's like, no, maybe he wasn't doing it on purpose, but he definitely knew that he was bad at his job, and he was definitely psychotic, and it was a crazy series, dude. Crazy stuff.
Wow.
Dr. Death. 1-star review on Google. Don't let Dr. Death near you. Wonder if he's giving out medical advice in prison now. Guy's going like, hey, doc,
next
little sore, slept on it funny. What do you think?
Yeah, what a weirdo. You got to be careful, man.
Oh, yeah. I didn't let nobody cut on me unless it's like your situation where just no other choice.
Yeah, and then you go out and you do your research. Have you done your research? I did mine. And you find he's trying and, you know, you can check. It's like anything.
He paralyzed his best friend, bro.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
His best friend, like, let him operate on him. He paralyzed. He basically severed his spinal cord.
Yeah.
Guys, he died just a couple of months ago. Paraplegic. Quadriplegic. Quads four, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get Roberto in here. Only got a minute. Roberto, good afternoon, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Going to be quick. I don't want to talk about Dr. Death, though. That seems very interesting. Just wanted to say about this whole Walter Nolan thing, and I guess he's going to Powell now. I've been out of the loop for several weeks here, but, like, does that completely change our perception of Josh Heupel and his ability to recruit if we land the number one recruit in America, which it very much looks like we're about to? Does that completely change us? Or is that a fluky thing, or is that just a Rodney Garner thing?
Maybe somewhere in the middle. It's a huge win.
It's a lot
of
different things.
Yeah, it's a huge win for sure, and could change hopefully it brings other recruits, and hopefully he's a great player and all that stuff, but you still got to go out and win. I mean, hell, you know, remember how excited we were, Khalil McKenzie? I mean, he was almost as highly rated as this guy.
Who is signed over the weekend with the Cincinnati Bengals, boys. Khalil McKenzie did.
Guys, is this not two out of the last four top players in the state of Tennessee or also the top player in the state – or, excuse me, the top player in the country with Trey Smith being the other one? So, I mean, like, yeah, it's important that you get that guy, especially if he's in state. And I don't care what anybody says. I'm so tired of this. There's people on the internet trying to explain away his recruitment and say that it's all Jeremy Pruitt's doing. That, and look, this kid didn't even have Tennessee in his top 10 3 months ago.
What?
And now they've worked into his top four.
Somebody's trying to say that Jeremy Pruitt deserves credit for this?
Because Jeremy Pruitt, air quotes, hired Rod Garner ostensibly, which is not true, by the way.
Oh, man. That's funny.
And I'm just so tired of this bull crap on the internet about what people talk about, what they don't know about. If Tennessee pulls this kid, I'm gonna give them their fair shake and say, hell of a job. Hell of a job recruiting that guy, because I know that greater Memphis area, especially where he's from, even though he lives in Powell now, there was a 0% chance he was coming here.
Zero.
Even 3 months here.
Zero. He wouldn't have come for all the McDonald's bags in the world, Roberto.
Well, but if you can get his parents a job in a nice house in Powell, I'm down. Oh, have a great day, guys.
Thank you, Roberto. Appreciate it. Allegedly. That's not even alleged. You're just throwing wild spec. What is these callers today, Bear?
I don't know, man.
Making our life
something else.
All right, we got to roll. Thanks to Jake Miller. Overtime coming up next. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.